Okay, let's unpack this. I want you to picture your monthly expenses for a second.
Right.
Just visualize that bank transfer leaving your account. You got rent or maybe a, you know, a hefty mortgage. The car payment, food, utilities, all the subscriptions.
All the usual stuff.
Now, I want you to imagine a single software subscription that costs $20,000 per month.
It is a staggering number. It just stops you in your tracks.
It's the price of a luxury car lease. I mean, a really nice one or a decent down payment on a house every single month. When I first saw this figure in the $20,000 colleague report from Tech and Game, my first reaction was just, who is this for?
Of course.
Is this price gouging? Is it a typo? But the report insists this is the new sticker price for the future of work.
Right. And to really get why that number isn't a typo and why companies are actually, you know, lining up to pay it, we have to completely shift our perspective on what we're buying. We aren't talking about a tool anymore.
Yeah.
This isn't just ChatGPT Plus for $20 where you get a slightly faster chatbot.
Mm-hmm.
This is a transition to what they call digital labor.
Digital labor? That feels like a pretty significant rebrand.
It is. The report frames this as a pivotal moment.
Mm.
We are looking at February 2026 as the era where AI stops being a helper and starts being, well, a colleague.
A colleague.
OpenAI and these other major labs aren't marketing software here. They're marketing a research agent.
So that's the mission for this deep dive. We're going to take this report and really look at what this technology actually does to justify a price tag that, you know, rivals a human salary.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to look at the operator framework, the brutal economics of why a robot might be cheaper than a human even at 20 grand a month, and crucially, the survival strategies for everyone listening who wants to keep their job in this new landscape.
It's exciting, but it's heavy. The source material calls this the industrial revolution of the mind. It's not a phrase you take lightly.
No, it is not. So let's start with the product itself. Because for $20,000 a month, I expect this thing to do my laundry, raise my kids, and maybe invest my portfolio for me.
Right.
But the report says the core difference is something called long horizon autonomy. What does that actually mean in plain English?
So think about how we used AI back in, say, 2023 or 2024. It was synchronous.
Okay.
You gave it a prompt. It gave you an answer. It's very transactional. Write me an email. Summarize this text. It stops when it answers you. Long horizon autonomy means the agent operates asynchronously. It stays on mission for days.
So it doesn't just clock out after it hits enter.
It doesn't stop until the goal is achieved. The report uses a great example to illustrate this. Let's say you're a CEO and you tell this agent, develop a complete market entry strategy for a green tech startup in Southeast Asia.
Okay, that's a massive project. That's weeks of work for a human team. You'd need market research, regulatory checks, competitor analysis, all of it.
Precisely. In the past, a chatbot would just give you like a generic 5-paragraph essay based on whatever it remembered from its training data 3 years ago.
Right. Totally useless.
This research agent, it behaves like a human researcher. It goes off and it opens a browser. It navigates to government websites in Vietnam and Thailand to check the current regulations.
So it's actually surfing the live web.
The live web. And not just reading, it's doing. If it finds a data set on energy consumption, it writes its own Python code to model that data. It'll generate a graph.
No way.
And if the graph looks weird, it debugs its own code, fixes the error, and then reruns the model. It reads scientific journals, it iterates, and eventually, after maybe 48 or 72 hours of just continuous processing, it comes back to you with a 100-page dossier.
With everything.
With regulatory compliance, competitor analysis, the whole thing.
So it's doing the reading, the synthesizing, the coding, and the creating.
And the reasoning. That is the key.
Okay, this connects to the operator framework that's mentioned in the technical module of the source. I want to dig into this because for our more tech-savvy listeners, this is the how. What is happening under the hood?
It's fascinating stuff. The operator framework is what gives the AI hands, digitally speaking. It has control over the browser, the terminal, and professional software suites.
Okay.
But the real breakthrough is the cognitive architecture. They call it chain of thought reasoning. But here's the kicker. It's verified by secondary reflector models.
Reflector models? What, like a mirror?
Sort of. Think of it like a writer and an editor living inside the same machine. Or maybe a junior analyst and a senior partner.
Oh, okay.
So one model, they call it the actor, proposes a plan or writes a section of code. Then the reflector model looks at it and it stress tests it.
So it literally argues with itself.
Exactly. The reflector is asking, does this actually make sense? Is this citation accurate? Is this logic sound? And if the answer is no, it kicks it back to the actor to redo it.
That's incredible.
This internal dialogue happens thousands of times before the agent ever takes an action or shows you the result. The source says this drastically minimizes the hallucination risk that used to plague the older models.
That is a game changer. I remember when we had to double check everything because the AI would just confidently lie to you about a court case or some historical fact.
Right. It effectively checks its own work. Mm-hmm. And the other big technical leap here is memory. The report talks about vector-based long-term memory.
I know vector databases are a big deal in tech, but what does that mean for me, the user?
It means it doesn't forget.
That all.
If you told it a specific project constraint 3 months ago, like, we never use the color red in our charts, or our legal team requires this specific disclaimer, it recalls it. Yeah. It doesn't have that context window issue where it forgets the beginning of the conversation.
Wow.
This is what makes it viable for multi-year projects. It's an employee that never, ever forgets a meeting note.
And apparently, it's smart. The report claims this reasoning engine has an IQ equivalent to the top 1% of human researchers.
Which brings us right back to that $20,000 price tag.
Right. The economics. Because to me, $20,000 a month sounds insane. But the report argues that for, say, a startup in Vancouver or a hedge fund in London, this is actually a bargain. I need you to walk me through that math because my checkbook is hurting just thinking about it.
It's a massive bargain. And this is where the math gets, you know, cold and logical. Let's look at the hubs. London, Toronto, San Francisco, New York. What does a senior research scientist or a lead developer cost?
Oh, base salary, depending on the role, probably $150,000, maybe $300,000 a year, U.S. dollars.
Exactly. And that's just what hits their bank account. Now, add in health insurance, stock options, office space, HR costs, recruitment fees.
It's a fully loaded cost.
Right. The fully loaded cost of a human employee is usually double their base salary. Mm-hmm. So that $200,000 employee actually costs the company $400,000.
Okay, so purely on an annual basis, $240,000 for the AI is already competitive.
But here's the real multiplier. Humans need sleep. We take vacations, we get sick, we have bad days, we have families.
We burn out.
The report explicitly points that out. The AI works 24/7. It works at the speed of silicon. It doesn't need benefits. It doesn't need a break. So OpenAI is essentially renting elite talent to companies.
Huh.
If that agent produces even $100,000 of value a month, which a top-tier human researcher certainly should, then paying $20,000 is a complete no-brainer for a CFO.
It's a shift of capital. The money that used to go to human salaries is now just going to AI compute providers.
That's the redistribution. And it signals that the bar for value creation has moved way up. If you are hiring a human, they now have to be more valuable than a 247 genius that costs $20,000 a month.
Which leads us directly into the impact on jobs. Because if I'm a freelancer or a mid-level employee, this report is reading like a horror story. I'm hearing the word replacement.
It's definitely a wake-up call. The source identifies the mid-tier workforce as being in the danger zone.
Who's in the mid-tier?
You know, routine coders, standardized legal researchers, technical writers who produce basic documentation, even junior data analysts. If your output is standardized, if you take info from column A and you move it to column B without adding significant novel insight, it's facing commoditization.
The report mentions platforms like Upwork and TopTal specifically. I use those platforms to hire people.
Yes. And think about it from the client's perspective. Why would you manage 10 different freelancers dealing with 10 time zones, 10 communication styles, 10 invoices, varying quality, when you could just hire one ultra-competent agent that does it all instantly?
There's a quote in the source that really stuck with me, and it's pretty ruthless. It says, you cannot outwork an agent, and you certainly cannot outprice them. That is bleak.
It is bleak if you try to compete on execution. If your value is, I can write code faster, or I can summarize this legal brief quicker, you're in trouble. You're trying to outrun a Ferrari on foot.
Right.
But the report doesn't just say give up. It pivots to a solution.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Give us the hope. Because I don't want to end this deep dive in a depression. What's the new strategy?
It's all about high context complexity.
High context.
The messy stuff. The human stuff. Agents are incredibly logical, but business is often psychological.
Mm.
An agent can write a perfect legal contract, but it can't sit in a room and read the body language of the opposing counsel to know when they're bluffing. It doesn't understand office politics or the unstated culture of a client.
So We need to stop trying to be robots and start being more human. We need to lean into the ambiguity.
In a way, yes. The report outlines this concept called the agentic mindset. It suggests new job titles are emerging. And the big one is systems architect or AI orchestration.
Orchestration, I like that word. It implies you're the conductor, not the violin player.
That's exactly it. The job isn't doing the work anymore. The job is managing the fleet of agents who do the work. You're pointing them at the right problems, auditing their output to make sure the reflector didn't miss anything, and then stitching it all together into a business strategy.
And this leads to that agency of one concept the report mentions. This blew my mind because it changes the definition of what a company even is.
It's a fascinating business model. The idea is that a single human using these tools could manage, say, 50 AI agents.
One person managing 50 digital employees.
And producing the output of a traditional 500-person firm. You become a CEO of a digital workforce. You don't need a massive payroll. You need a massive compute budget.
Right.
Imagine a graphic designer who used to handle 3 clients. Now they act as the creative director for a staff of 20 AI designers. They can generate 100 variations. The human picks the best 5, refines them, and ships. They can suddenly handle 50 clients.
Well, wait, let's ground this for a second. We've been talking about the $20,000 enterprise tier. Most people listening, and honestly, myself included, don't have an extra 20 grand lying around every month. Is this super individual future only for the rich?
And that's the digital divide warning in the report. Those with capital can move at exponential speed. But the source does offer a poor man's option, if you will, or maybe the scrappy man's option.
Oh, good. Tell me about that.
The Global Tech and Labor Insights section mentions open source models, things like Llama 4 or Mistral.
Right, the models you can download and run yourself.
Exactly. Developers can build smaller domain-specific agents using these open models. They might not be the generalist genius that the $20,000 OpenAI model is, but if you train one specifically on, say, local real estate laws in Seattle or a specific coding language, it can be incredibly powerful.
So you don't need the enterprise tier to start an agency of one?
No, but you do need the technical know-how.
So the barrier isn't just money, it's skill, it's digital literacy.
Which is why the expert advice here is to master agent management. Whether you pay for the premium model or you build your own pipeline with open source tools, the skill set is the same. How do you structure a complex task so a machine can execute it perfectly?
It sounds like the prompt engineering of 2023 was just, you know, kindergarten for this.
Exactly. This is PhD level delegation.
I want to zoom out a bit. We've talked about the individual, but the report has these global tech and labor insight modules that touch on some wild geopolitical stuff, because if everyone starts doing this, society changes.
Yeah, the macro picture is just as volatile.
One thing that jumped out at me was the UK. Apparently they're debating taxing robots.
Electronic persons. That's the term the source uses.
Electronic persons. That sounds like science fiction.
Well, it makes sense if you follow the money. If 40% of mid-level jobs get automated, that's 40% fewer people paying income tax. The government loses its revenue stream. So how do you fund the roads and the hospitals?
Right.
The debate is whether companies should pay tax on the labor their agents perform.
Mm-hmm.
If your agent does the work of 3 people, maybe you pay the payroll tax for 3 people.
That is going to be a messy, messy legal battle. Companies will scream about stifling innovation.
Incredibly messy. But the alternative is a hollowed-out tax base. And it's not just taxes. The report mentions AI-assisted cities.
Mm-hmm.
Local governments using these research agents for urban planning, healthcare delivery, optimizing traffic flows in real time.
It sounds utopian, but also a little dystopian, depending on who controls the switch.
It raises huge questions about surveillance and control.
Huh.
If an AI decides the most efficient way to route traffic is to block off your neighborhood, you don't really get a vote in that.
And that brings us back to the inequality issue. The report warns of a widening gap. If you have the capital for the $20,000 agents, you are just accelerating away from everyone else. It's not just an income gap, it's a capability gap.
Exactly. The organizations that can afford the IQ of the top 1% for their whole staff will just outthink the competition.
So in this world where content is infinite, where agents can produce 100-page reports in an hour, and where intelligence is basically for rent, what becomes valuable? The report mentions personal brand.
Yes. Verified human.
Verified human. It sounds like a luxury fashion label. 100% organic human thought.
In a way, it is. When the world is flooded with AI-generated content, some of it perfect, some of it hallucinated, all of it cheap, knowing that a specific, trusted human stands behind a piece of work that becomes a premium.
Ah.
Your signature, your reputation becomes your moat.
Because the AI can simulate logic, but it can't simulate your reputation?
You can't simulate accountability. Mm-hmm. If the agent messes up, you can't fire it, or rather, firing it doesn't hurt it. It has no skin in the game. Humans do. If you sign a document, you are staking your career on it. That accountability is valuable.
We've covered a lot of ground here, from the long horizon autonomy of the research agent to the agency of one business model. It really feels like we're standing on a cliff edge.
It does. But I think the summary from Tech and Game is the right way to view it. It's not a job apocalypse. It's a transformation.
The AI orchestration era.
Right. The most valuable skill is no longer doing the heavy lifting. It's knowing what needs to be listed and where to put it.
It reminds me of the shift from manual farming to industrial agriculture. The job didn't disappear. But the guy with the hoe became the guy driving the combine harvester.
Or the guy managing the fleet of autonomous harvesters from an iPad in his kitchen.
Even better.
The source calls it the industrial revolution of the mind. And the key takeaway for me is that the marathon for intelligence has no finish line. The models we see in February 2026 are just the start.
So if you're listening to this and you're feeling a mix of terror and excitement, that's probably the right reaction.
Absolutely. Panic is useless, but urgency is necessary.
The tools are there. Whether you're shelling out $20,000 or building a scrappy open source agent on your laptop, the message is clear. Start building your fleet.
Don't wait for your boss to give you an agent. Be the one who brings the agent to the meeting.
I love that. Be the systems architect of your own career.
Exactly.
Before we sign off, I want to leave you with that provocative thought you hinted at earlier. We know the cost of digital production is dropping to near zero. We know these agents can reason like the top 1% of humans.
So here's the question. In a world where expertise can be rented for a monthly fee, what happens to the value of human expertise that cannot be verified? If you can't prove it was you, did you even do it?
And are you ready to stop being the worker and start being the architect? Something to think about. Thanks for listening to The Deep Dive.
See you next time.